It's not one of those years where there was one star and three randoms.
Would have been a couple of panic moments, particularly when like
David Stern punching the air.
Yeah, McGee was getting 50s and
sweating
bullets.
They're
like, wait a damn minute.
Yeah, when they saw that second rim come out. Oh, wait, he's going to do both? Welcome back to the Basketball Forever podcast. I'm head of editorial here, Nick Jungfer. I'm with Alex Sumsky, the founder, and a man who's always wearing the matching shirt, especially on recording days.
Oh my gosh. I feel like we've just got such a similar wardrobe, weirdly. We rocked up, we sit down, just as we're about to record, we look at each other and we're like, we're wearing the exact same fucking shirt and shorts.
I had to pull in
this
off AUSA, who are a facility that we work with here.
Yeah.
So we found a workaround, but Jesus, we're terrible
at
that.
It's the third time or fourth almost that we've done that.
Three or four's low.
Yeah.
Anyway, mate, bit of news this week that Mac McClung, the G League superstar slash... He's a real cult hero, isn't he? And he's going to be in the dunk contest. Does that... get your juices flowing?
Yeah, it does get my juices flowing. I don't know why everyone... It's so funny because he's been getting criticized. First of all, it's the first G League player to ever compete in the NBA dunk contest.
Well, like the decision to include him's been getting criticized a fair bit, right?
Yes.
By some folks, at least.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, you know, I saw some of the comments, people being like, no offense, but why? I'm like, what do you mean why? This is an event that has been... like objectively stale over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And the fact that they've had to dip into, you know, one of the better sort of high school dunkers in recent times, who's now in the G League, not currently with an NBA team, unfortunately for him, despite the fact he just this week he had 40 point game for the team that he's playing for. But he's the perfect player to shake things up. Like, he's exciting. It's fresh. He'll bring something new. He's box office when it comes to dunking, and the numbers speak for themselves. Someone in our office was telling us that they don't, you know, see the value in having him, and that's like a little bit cringe and this, that, and the other. And I'm like, well, we posted about it, and it got 6.3 million impressions.
This is why we tell that particular individual what to cook up designs wise, and he doesn't have too much say into content choices.
I was like, the people have spoken.
Mm, yeah, right. It's like these people either didn't see what Mac McClung did in high school or have a very short term memory, because he was like an all time high school dunker. He was electric.
Yeah, this could age really poorly, but I it's also silly to say this because it feels like the favorites never win these contests, but he is like, you know, head and shoulders going to probably be the best and most creative dunker in the contest.
Right, right. And so with the dunk contest back in the news cycle this week, I was going back and looking at some old ones, and something sort of, you know, I immediately stopped scrolling.
Mm.
And when something caught my attention, that was the 2011 dunk contest, which was Blake Griffin jumping over a Kia.
Yeah.
You know.
It's funny, that dunk contest actually, it's pretty near and dear to my heart, because that was the year BF was founded. Like, not as a company, but when we first started, like, posting.
Like a high school passion project, like the very sort of beginning.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
when BF was a fetus.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But that dunk contest, like, sticks with me because I remember that All-Star break, and I was with Jordan, who's behind the camera right now. We were at his house and a bunch of friends, and that was like my last experience of NBA All-Star weekend and the NBA in general, really, before NBA sort of became like a bit of a chore, like a job, as opposed to just experiencing it as a fan.
Just the pure joy, the childlike joy of enjoying it.
I could just enjoy it without the extra stress and pressure of knowing, like, what's the angle for this? What content do I do? What do I post about?
Right.
Oh my gosh, I got to make something. I got to write something up. We got to publish this. We got to do that.
Turns out 12 years later, it's going to make some pretty tasty content for this particular podcast,
yes.
Especially when I pose this question, which is, do you think it was rigged?
I think that was, I remember not at the time, because I was so like engrossed in it. But when I look back and reflect on it, like I look back at like all the dunk contests over the years, and I've never missed one. I've watched them all. But you know, when you think of the greatest dunk contests ever, you think of like 2000 with Vince Carter. You think of 2009 and 2010, like Dwight Howard versus Nate Robinson and Dwight Howard on his own with the Superman. You obviously think of 2016 with Aaron Gordon and Zach. But 2011 to me was a dark horse as one of the better dunk contests. But do I think that Blake Griffin deserved to win? I don't know if he did.
Right.
I think that that's one of those ones that he was such a talented rookie coming in, and he was so hyped, like the Mozgov dunk and everything around him. He was putting up better rookie numbers than like any rookie before and since. You know, he stacks up historically. And I think they really, really were looking to push a new star, and, you know, rigging the dunk contest was just another way of, you know, giving him that extra bit of stardom.
Not only could you argue that Blake shouldn't have won, you could very well argue, and I would argue, that he shouldn't have even made it to the final round. And that,
wow, that's a big call.
I don't know if it's insane in terms of how good. Actually, I'm not sure if JaVale finished as strong as he started, but JaVale, he had the dunking on two rims at the same time. It didn't look physically possible.
Oh, yeah.
He had the three ball dunk.
Yeah.
And then DeRozan was in his. It was a young DeRozan in his athletic prime.
Yeah, absolutely.
In his absolute bag. Those two were outstanding. I'm not sure if Blake makes my top two.
Well, not just that, but the second dunk of the night was Serge Ibaka doing a clean free throw dunk.
Right. And you always see guys stepping so far over the line when they attempt that.
Even MJ, his first time, stepped over the line. And Serge, first attempt, it was clean as. And I remember I was like looking at Joe, we're like, what do we just watch a free throw dunk on the second dunk of the night? Like,
infinitely more impressive than
by a center,
some of the stuff that Blake did.
Yeah.
There was one where Blake attempted it seven times.
Yeah, and he still
gets
a good
score. And they gave him a 46, which was the exact score that he needed to guarantee to at least get through to the next round, regardless of what happened after that.
Yeah.
It's just so suspicious. But the real cruncher in all of this, and we'll put this up on the screen for people watching on Facebook, was that the NBA sent out a press release to the media promoting a whole bunch of events. You know how during All-Star Weekend there's a million events going on all over the city?
Yeah.
One of them featured a bunch of like amateur or high school dunkers. Mm. And it says, and they will be dunking in front of 2011 dunk contest winner, Blake Griffin. They put this media release out before the dunk contest had even started.
Yeah, right.
They eventually corrected it, but innocent mistake or massive, you know.
I don't know.
Like spilling the beans.
Where this, I mean, at the end of the day, the NBA is, and the way that the entity is structured and all of their like commercial and like legal agreements and everything, they're an entertainment company.
If there was ever going to be an NBA event that is sort of a bit scripted in the WWE style, it's going to be the dunk contest.
Of course. And they're like I said, they're entertainment. They're not sporting league and the All-Star Weekend and the dunk contest, three-point shootout, all that. In particular, that is not that's not a competition. That is
it's pure entertainment.
It's a showcase.
Yeah. And so Blake's got to do that was sort of the birth of his endorsement with Kia. Kia was a major NBA sponsor and, you know, as they say, the official car of the NBA at the time.
Yeah.
So and they whoever's jumping over the Kia has to win this thing.
Yeah.
And Blake, apparently, even before it became a Kia, he wanted to jump over a car and he was going to jump over a convertible.
Nice.
But it, you know, they sort of said to him, no, it has to be this shitty Kia.
Yeah. I think that...
like the car that your mate's mum would drive.
Yeah,
you know, just some crappy sedan. But anyway, there's too much to suggest that it was rigged for my liking.
Yeah, and I think the fact that, you know, the All-Star Weekend was in LA that year and Blake was a, you know, an LA Clipper and that I look at we were so spoiled in that particular dunk contest in terms of like the dunk package of some of these guys like you said, JaVale three balls We had two rims. We had like the free throw. Even Griffin had it. He had a couple of good ones. Like for the arm and the rim off the backboard.
Yeah,
Carter style was great. But to finish on that whole jumping over the bonnet of
and with the whole marching band and
if you were to take the car out of that dunk, like that's a normal dunk that anyone does any night in the NBA if on a fast break or you name it.
Like jumping over the lowest part of the car.
The convertible would have been better. At least right. At least that's like you can jump over the middle of the car. It's just, but the front, it just looked weak. And then
a fairly standard dunk as well. It's not like you did a 360 over it or something crazy.
The other thing that made me suspicious when I was watching it at the time, I remember thinking, geez, Kenny Smith had never, like that was like the all-time level of hype for a dunk contest contestant.
He does play the hype man role every year,
That was way bigger than he'd ever done it and it's ever happened since, I think, from memory. I can't remember a time. I just remember that whole time. It was just
on the brink of an aneurysm.
I was getting a headache.
Yeah.
Listening to him bang on about Blake.
Yeah. So what you reckon that he was sort of, someone from the NBA handed him a slip of paper and said, listen, mate.
It might not have been a slip of paper, but I think there was definitely some instructions. Everyone knew that Blake's going to win this. I mean, I'm sure there was, I'm sure we're not on an island with this. Like there's got to be other people that thought the same thing.
So let me read you some quotes that the players had to say sort of in the immediate aftermath.
Yeah.
JaVale, so this was the first year that when they did the fan vote, JaVale sort of said.
How convenient.
Yeah.
How convenient.
Well, JaVale's thoughts exactly, where the crux of his quote was the fan vote might have made things a little janky.
Janky is one way of putting it.
Yeah. Ed Davis, who was DeMar's teammate. At the time he was there rooting on DeMar, he straight up said, I think it was all set up.
Did you say rooting on DeMar?
Oh, let me just fuck that.
No, keep going.
I'm like, well, Americans think that's weird.
I think Americans always think the word rooting is strange, like in general.
But they don't say rooting
in terms of
fucking either.
No, they do.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Isn't it Aussie to say... have a root.
That's what I thought. But I spoke to them and like, oh, I remember there was this guy I was friends with. He's like, oh man, for me, that's really different. And I was like, what do you mean? Oh, just different meanings. You guys can't believe you use that word. And I'm like, oh,
that's so trippy when you become a full American. So Ed Davis said, you know, he's there for DeMar in support and said, I think it was set for Blake to win it.
Mm.
Serge basically said repeatedly, he didn't want to say explicitly, so he repeatedly just said it was in LA. All I'm going to say is it was in LA. Nate Robb also chimed in, having competed in the previous, felt like
three-time champ,
16 dunk contest before that. He said he was basically asked straight up, was it rigged? He said, of course. They set it up like that. They set it up for Blake to win it like that. It's all set up. Doesn't really get more black and white than that. He sort of, repeated himself three times. So the players are very much thinking it was rigged.
It's one of those things, like, does it even matter? Because it's like, you know, I know that it is technically like an official accolade and it's like, you know, it's in a player's resume but it's a bit of an arbitrary award when you think about it. Like it is a very WWE showmanship, you know, you're putting on a show and at the end of the day, I remember everyone was getting hyped for Griffin's dunk attempts in that particular one. Mm. Like every time he would go, I remember he did that 360 and he kind of, he went up, but he did the 360 like midair and spun around. And it was the first attempt of that dunk I thought was incredible.
Yeah.
Like it made him look crazy athletic and everyone got hyped. Like everyone was just like, you could just hear it in the crowd. And I thought, and it was so loud when he finally threw the dunk down.
Yeah.
And, you know, big part of it, I think, comes down to the showmanship.
Right.
Which, you know, Kenny contributed to quite a lot. But in general, Griffin was more box office. You know, maybe he deserved to win it regardless.
You're right in terms of, well, it's arbitrary in terms of it doesn't actually affect a player's legacy or
not really.
any legitimate debate around who's the greatest player of all time, or
maybe who's the greatest dunker of all time. It comes into play there.
Yeah. But
that's an eye test thing.
And that's another one where, you know, someone like Aaron Gordon being robbed, people still give him that credit of he's up there as one of the greatest.
Yeah.
So that they don't necessarily go by the hard and fast who actually won the official competition.
Yeah.
But do you think, let's just assume for the sake of this argument, that the NBA had rigged it for Blake. Do you think they were panicking when they were like, oh shit, DeMar's really bringing it?
No, this is, I actually genuinely
JaVale's really bringing
they
it.
Weren't expecting that dunk package from everyone.
It's not one of those years where there was Blake, you know, one star and three randoms.
And I think would have been a couple of panic moments, definitely, particularly when like,
David Stern punching the air.
Yeah, McGee was getting 50s. And
sweating
like,
bullets.
They're like, oh, wait a damn minute. And yeah. But then also the other part.
When they saw that second rim come out, oh, what, he's going to do both?
He's like, no, three balls. And like, what in the sweet?
What's he going to juggle before he dunks one?
But then I think they would have been panicking as well when Griffin had like seven attempts. And they're like, holy shit, he can't get this dunk off. He's crumbling. And they're in the earpiece. Like, he need just give him 46. Like,
yeah, so they all give him a nine anyway.
Just give him 46.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really how it felt.
Yeah.
How do you get a nine when you missed it seven times?
Someone was sweaty under the arms. Someone was.
He got the same score that Dwayne Wade gave Aaron Gordon for some of the most insane shit we've ever seen.
Oh, my.
Apparently,
gosh.
They're all the, you know, equal and the same.
Yeah, that kind of ruins it bringing in different judges when you think about it.
They got such different ideas.
Well, yeah.
Wasn't it MJ? Yeah, like MJ was the strictest judge. He's like, oh, that's a seven. You know, I could have done better.
Yeah. He sees someone dunking and I took that personally.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm thinking to myself, he's saying under his breath, this man's trash, no matter who it is.
Yeah. Yeah, it wouldn't have mattered. Wouldn't have mattered. Well, if you're not doing a 360 windmill from the free throw line.
On top of Patrick Ewing. In the finals, Eastern Conference finals.
Yeah, if it's not a game winner in game seven of the NBA finals, it's not good enough. Yeah. No, I think I look back on that and I think that was probably one of the more grayer areas of a dunk contest that we've had, but still, in my view, one of the more entertaining in the past 20 years.
I think it's one of the most harmless conspiracies, but also one of the most likely to be true, if not the most likely to be true of anything we've talked about on this podcast or just out in the office.
For sure.
Well, I reckon it's pretty safe to say that was rigged. Case closed.
Yeah, I think that's a case closed on that one. I think, like you said, it's one of the safer conspiracy theories you can have and probably the most likely.
Yeah. Yeah, I reckon we've got to the bottom of that. Let us know if you disagree, though, as always. Let us know what you think about the upcoming dunk contest. We already have Mac McClung and Shaden Sharpe's another high flyer in it.
Yeah.
If you have anything more constructive for us, then I fucking hate the dunk contest. It's so shit.
Yeah.
Because that's... Some members of our office and many members of our comments section, you might have something a little more.
Everyone's divided on the dunk contest, but hey, this is the NBA's way of trying to shake things up. But if you've got a better idea, let us know and we'll talk about it.
Please do. Let us know what you think and join us again next week.